Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you oh so much for the opportunity to be able to gather together and be able to study your word. Help us now as we do that, as we get back into our studies on the word faith. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word faith, if you will, turn to Romans chapter 1. And here we see a bit of a testimony of the faith of the church at Rome. And this, of course, is a letter of Paul to the church at Rome. And it reads, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now this receiving of the apostleship, now this is the receiving of the opportunity to be working along with the Holy Ghost in the effort of spreading the gospel, which we receive because of our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. When we become a born-again Christian, we then are qualified to be apostles. That's why the Great Commission to go out and preach and teach the gospel. We are all being sent out. That's, after all, what apostle means, one that is sent out. And we need to share that with others out there in the world, to share the love of Jesus Christ, to shine the light of Jesus Christ so they can see the path to come, to become part of the family, to become a born-again Christian. And it is through our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ and acknowledgement of who he is. Read 5 again. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, to be able to preach and teach the gospel to all nations, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Let us know, not just Paul and the others that were declared apostles, but all of us that have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior come into that apostleship. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's starting this out with an acknowledgement of Jesus Christ, an acknowledgement of that he is an apostle sent out, and an acknowledgement that all of us that are true believers are also sent out to do a task as he was. This letter, of course, specifically to the church at Rome, but it goes to the born-again Christians. It can be applied to anyone that is a born-again Christian that reads this. That's why it's preserved for all of us to be able to study, to look at this letter that was sent specifically to the church at Rome, but also applies to anyone who is a believer. That's why he's talking about all nations and all believers and so forth. Now let's get into that further here in verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Note here, he's acknowledging the work of the church at Rome. The Romans that were believers, the saints, the born-again Christians, is who he's testifying about right here and acknowledging that they are doing a good work. And it's through their faith that they do such a work. Verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now he's talking about how he's really looking forward and hoping that he could be able to come and congregate with them as well, coming together as a body of believers. And note how he points out that we would be comforted in such a thing. Because that is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. That's why it's so important for Christians to get together with other like-minded believers that have the faith in Jesus Christ. In that, you are comforted to know that there are others out there that are going through the similar things that you are going through, and that others out there that have the faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, just like you do. That is comforting, and that's what he's speaking of there. Verse 13, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I proposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." He was wanting to come in and be a part of the work of the church there at Rome. That's what he's speaking of there. "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. That faith in Jesus Christ, that faith in the power of the Holy Ghost that is within you, that you have the power, that you have the tools to be able to go out there and do the task that he has set for you to do, that kind of faith, to step on out, to boldly proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that kind of faith. You will live by faith, that undoubting belief and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord, ultimate authority over everything. That is the kind of faith that we will live by when we truly trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Read verse 17 again. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." That's faith in Jesus Christ. Not faith in yourself and your own abilities, your own skills, your own knowledge. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a true faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, as the one that can lead you and guide you and help you do the job of an apostle, of an evangelist, of as a missionary, of whatever it is he's called you to do. He can give you exactly what you need. He is the one that provides you with all the tools that you need, the skill that you need, the abilities to be able to do the task that he has set for you. So have faith and trust in him and in his power, and then get out there and do what he wants you to do. All right, now if we'll turn to Romans chapter 3. Here we can see some references to being justified. Now, being justified means to be found innocent. And in our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, in his shed blood paid for the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future. And when we have the faith and trust in that and accept him as our Lord and Savior, then we are justified. Then we are found innocent of our sins, washed all the way as far as the east is from the west. All right, let's look at that a little bit further here in Romans chapter 3. Pick it up right here in verse 1. "What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there in circumcision?" Now here he's going to be talking about how the differences between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the obedience to the 613 plus minus statutes, ordinances, and commandments of the Old Testament versus the obedience to the trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ emphasized the two great commandments, that is, to love God with all your existence and to love others as yourself. Under that fall all the other rules, regulations, ordinances, and statutes, and so forth. So when we come to Jesus Christ and totally and completely give ourselves over to him and are led by the Holy Ghost, we don't have to worry about those 613 statutes and ordinances and obediences of the rituals of the Old Testament. Those are the Old Covenant. We are under the New Covenant, primarily focused on the love and the grace of Jesus Christ and sharing that love and grace with others by having a total and complete faith and trust in him and in his finished work. That is what it's all about. It's not about works of the flesh. It's not about works, get out here and show everybody how obedient you are by following all the ordinances of the Old Covenant. That's worthless without faith. Is what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there in circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Talking about committed unto the oracles of God, the Old Testament, to the Jews. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that we are all under sin. And it is, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Here he's emphasizing how the differences between following of the Old Testament ordinances, the rituals, the religion of the Old Testament, versus accepting the grace, the finished work of Jesus Christ, and that we're found righteous, we're found justified by our obedience to the finished work of Jesus Christ and our faith and trust in his finished work, rather than our obedience and faith and trust in our own works as being obedient followers of the Old Covenant. Verse 10, he emphasizes how you're not righteous by your works, and where he says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. All those that were obedient in the following of the ordinances were not found righteous because of their obedience to following the ordinances. They're following the ordinances when it was done by the faith and trust in God. Then they were found righteous because of their trust and faith in God and the obedience to the Old Covenant during the Old Covenant times was evidence of their faith and trust in God. But their righteousness was not based on the obedience. That's the difference. We got to understand the difference. You're not found righteous or not justified because of your works. You're found righteous and justified because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Your obedience to the will of the Lord becomes evident and is your testimony to the world that there has been a change in you. But there are those out there that can have that outwardly appearance of being a godly individual, but inside they've never made that connection with Jesus Christ. Therefore, they're not justified by their works. They're justified by the faith in Jesus Christ. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Here he's getting into talking about those that are just going through the motions. Those are the hypocrites, the ones that the Lord would call in vipers. They had the outward appearance of being righteous, but inwardly they were not. Verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Here he's teaching and emphasizing the fact and the purpose of the law. It was to let them know, or let us know, what is right, what is wrong. Here he could focus in on the 10 great commandments, and that in knowing the law, you understand what you should and should not be doing. But you're not justified by the obedience to the law. Your obedience to the law, when you trust in the Lord, then becomes your testimony to the others. And lets us know what we need to do and not to do. We today that trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, have the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost, who guides us, who lets us know what to do and what not to do. When we are truly in tune with the Holy Ghost that is within us, when our spirit having communion with the Spirit of the Lord that is within us, then we can have the understanding of what we should and should not be doing. Read 20 again. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God being revealed by the finished work of Jesus Christ. As he continues, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's one of the key points there, is that we all have sinned, and we need to know that we need to be washed of those sins, and the trust and the faith in Jesus Christ and His cleansing blood washes us from our sins. As it continues, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemption is only by way of Jesus Christ, only by His finished work. Verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. The propitiation, that means the payment. All sin requires a payment. If you sin, somebody's got to pay for it. You have to pay for it if you don't lift it up to the Lord and be under the payment that Jesus Christ made. Because on the cross, the shed blood of Jesus Christ paid for all sins of all mankind, past, present, and future. When we acknowledge that, He can put that upon us. And then we become innocent. We become justified by our faith in Jesus Christ and in His blood's ability and power and authority to cleanse us of our sins. Read 25 again. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. By the law of faith, that faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That is a very, very important verse right there. With some of the things that are going on today, with some of the movements that are out and about saying and declaring that you have to bring back the Old Testament and bring it back in. I mean, it's been going on ever since Jesus Christ walked among us. It's the same thing. Paul was dealing with that in Rome, still dealing with today. It's actually on an increase in the last few years here in the United States. And it's spreading around the world. Those that are going back to the Old Testament and trying to bring that into the New Covenant time. It doesn't work that way. The New Covenant fulfills the Old Covenant. The New Covenant doesn't make void the Old Covenant, but it fulfills the Old Covenant. It is now the priority. The priority is the trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That is what counts. That is what it's all about. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You cannot earn your way to heaven. You are not found innocent because you are so great of a Christian, because you are so obedient to the law of the Old Testament. No. You're not even found justified by the obedience of anything other than your faith in Jesus Christ, in His work. You're not justified by your works. You're justified by the faith and the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's the only way to be found innocent. 28 again. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Or is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. That's one of the key points there. The establishment of the law. The establishment of the finished work of Jesus Christ being the priority now. That His finished work is what we have faith and trust in. And that is what we are justified by. His finished work. Not our righteousness, but His righteousness. All right, now if you will, turn on over to Romans chapter 5. Here also he's speaking of justification in Romans chapter 5, picking up verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, let's reemphasize here, justified means to be found innocent. How are we found innocent? By having faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, by having faith in His blood's ability to be able to cleanse us of our sins. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is so peaceful that we can take comfort in knowing that our sins will not be held against us because Jesus Christ paid the price for those sins. They are removed as far as the east is from the west. So don't let the devil bring your sins of the past back and beat you up with them. Many have suffered that. Many even take the sins of their past and beat themselves up with them. Let it go. Get it washed away. Clean. Gone. And forget about it. Let it go. Have the comfort that comes along with that. Knowing that you can be found innocent. That's being justified by the faith and the finished work and ability of Jesus Christ to cleanse you of all those sins. That's one of the things that people have a real problem with. Accepting the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all that and remove it, to get rid of it. Don't bring it back up again. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And that is awesome that we have that. Grace, unmerited favor poured upon us because Jesus Christ chose to die for all sins of all mankind, past, present, and future. Verse 6 again, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet preadventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Here he's talking about how the fall of man all the way back there to Adam. But now because Jesus Christ, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, we can all have salvation. We come into this world spiritually dead because of what Adam and Eve did back there in the garden. But now we have the opportunity to become spiritually alive by the finished work of Jesus Christ. He died for all of us. Verse 8 again, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We would have wound up in the lake of fire for eternity, but Jesus Christ stepped up and was crucified for us, shed his blood on that cross, and took on all the filthy sins of all mankind, past, present, and future. All of them paid the price, bought everyone back, even all those that will not ever come to him. He paid the price for them as well. That was the horrible thing that he was praying about, that this cup may pass. That was something to be really dreading to take on. All the filthy sins of all mankind, past, present, and future, upon the one who was pure and clean and sinless. But he did that. He did that for us. He did that by grace. And when we have the faith in him, we are then found justified or innocent. As it says back there in verse 1 again, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ is what justifies us, is what cleanses us by having faith in the cleansing power of his blood. So take that opportunity to acknowledge, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to have that faith that he is the Messiah, that he is the Christ, that he is the Savior, and be washed in his blood. It's a simple process to ask him to forgive you, to humbly come to him, to ask forgiveness, and to be washed in his blood, and to be justified, to be found innocent. Then take that and move forward and bring honor and glory to him in everything that you do. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for your word. It's so powerful. Help us to realize the importance of studying all of it and motivate all of us to get out there and share it. Be an apostle like Paul and just share the gospel. Share the many blessings you have given us, because we know you'll even multiply them that much more. Thank you oh so much, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.